This is OMS Voices, an Amos podcast. I'm Bill Klaproth, and with me is Dr. Tony Pogrel, who is here to discuss benefits of coronectomy surgery. Dr. Pogrel, thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be here. Thank you, Bill.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you about this subject. So tell us, what is a coronectomy?
Literally, removal of a crown. It's a nice Greek word. Corona comes from the same origin.
Okay.
So coronectomy is removal of the crown.
How
in this
that?
Case, the crown of a tooth.
Okay. I've got several of them. So if you ever need to remove one of my crowns, it's called a coronectomy.
Correct.
I love it. Okay. When would you need to remove a crown or do a coronectomy?
So the type of coronectomy we're talking about here is not an artificial crown on a tooth. It's the actual real crown on your tooth.
Aha. That is a good distinction.
Yes. So we have a tooth where we don't want to remove the whole tooth for some reason. We only want to remove the top half of the tooth and actually leave the roots behind. And that is essentially a coronectomy.
So when would you need to perform a coronectomy on a natural tooth?
Normally, when you don't want to remove the roots of a tooth, you just want to remove the crown. And that would occur mainly with lower wisdom teeth, but occasionally with the teeth in front, the second molars, or even more occasionally the first molars. And the reason you're doing that in the lower jaw is to avoid injuring the inferior alveolar nerve. Because the jaw, lower jaw is kind of unique in the body in that it's got a nerve that runs right in the middle of it, and an artery and veins for that matter. They're in a canal right in the middle of the bone.
Okay.
And sometimes the roots of a tooth can get very close or even into the nerve canal. And we don't want to damage that nerve.
So that is why removing the entire tooth sometimes is not the best choice. And that's why a coronectomy is necessary?
That's absolutely correct, yes.
Okay. So then in that procedure, you remove the top of the tooth, the crown of the tooth. What do you do then?
You need to remove a little bit more than the crown. You've got to remove the top end of the roots. So the roots that are left behind are buried in the bone. And if you do that and you bury it 3 or 4 millimeters, I'm afraid we've gone metric. We don't measure in inches anymore. But 3 or 4 millimeters below the bone, it will heal over in a normal way and hopefully will cause no problems for the rest of your life.
So that tooth will heal over on its own?
Those roots will heal over, yes, so long as they're buried in the bone, yes.
Wow, all right. So what does a patient need to know about a coronectomy procedure before you begin one?
Well, they need to have a full evaluation. So normally this will involve plain x-rays, but also in this day and age, something called a cone beam computed tomography x-ray, or CBCT. And this shows the tooth in three dimensions and shows exactly the relationship between this nerve and the roots. And if it shows that the roots are, for want of a better word, intimately involved with the nerve, then your surgeon may suggest a coronectomy. And if they do, it's very similar surgery to actually having the whole tooth out. It's normally carried out under local anesthesia. You can be sedated if you want to be. Normally takes 20 minutes, 25 minutes to do, and healing takes 3 or 4 days.
That's interesting. I would think that it would take longer than that for this procedure.
No, it takes a couple of minutes longer than actually removing the tooth. It's actually a little bit more difficult to remove half the tooth to remove the whole tooth.
Okay, so what are the symptoms? What would somebody present with that would show you that someone would need a coronectomy?
We're talking mainly, as I say, predominantly about third molars, which are the wisdom teeth.
Okay.
So they'd be complaining of discomfort, sometimes outright pain, maybe swelling, maybe infection. Wisdom teeth can present in a variety of ways, but usually it's a more vague discomfort that they feel at the back of the lower jaw.
So you've got to make a decision then, because most of the time you're talking about molars, right? And wisdom teeth.
Correct.
Okay, sometimes you have to get wisdom teeth out. Sometimes it's okay to leave them in and perform a coronectomy then?
All three of those options.
Okay.
Leaving them in, doing a coronectomy, removing the whole tooth.
Okay.
And a lot of it's age dependent. Let's remember that most people get their wisdom teeth out in the late teens. It's almost a tradition, almost a rite of passage. And at that age, they're relatively easy to remove. The bone is still fairly soft. It will give way. And the roots of the teeth are usually not fully formed. So they often don't go down as far as the inferior alveolar nerve.
Okay.
But if you want your wisdom teeth out when you're 35 or 45, by that time, the bone is less forgiving. It's more rigid. It's a little bit more brittle. I mean, 45 doesn't seem old, but in biological terms, you're getting up there.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the roots of the teeth are more fully formed and may have grown right down to the nerve. And that's when you have to evaluate whether you should remove the tooth at all, and if so, should it be a coronectomy and leave those roots and the nerve alone, or whether you should attempt to remove the whole tooth.
Wow. Does anybody ever say to you, I want you to remove the whole tooth and nothing but the tooth?
Some purists don't like leaving little bits of teeth behind. I mean, let's face it, when I was a dental student, we were taught not to leave bits of teeth behind in the jaws. And we've changed our minds over the years.
Yeah.
We now know that as long as you do it properly and scientifically, it's perfectly safe to leave roots behind in the jaws.
So as far as post-operative care then, what steps need to be taken?
Well, very little, because we always stitch the wound together at the end. So there's no actual hole there to look at. It's all sewn over. So it's very similar to having a regular wisdom tooth out, in that you need to keep your mouth clean for 3 or 4 days. Because, you know, if this was on your skin, we'd put a Band-Aid on it. We don't have Band-Aids for the mouth. So you've just got to keep it as clean as you can. Nature is wonderful and it will heal it for you.
And you said the tooth does repair itself or heal itself as well.
Yes, the bone grows over those roots.
Okay.
Take an x-ray in 2 or 3 years, you'll see it's buried in the bone and there's bone above it.
Okay. So then what are the benefits of coronectomy surgery for someone facing this?
The main benefit is much lower risk of damaging the inferior alveolar nerve. And that nerve is not a motor nerve. It doesn't move anything, but it gives sensation to your gum on that side. But more important than the gum is your lower lip on that side. So if that nerve is damaged, you will have some numbness in your lower lip and chin. And although that's usually temporary, it can occasionally be permanent. So the main benefit of coronectomy is you don't have that risk.
So you don't want to disrupt that nerve. You don't want to damage that nerve because it could result in lower lip numbness and chin as well, which you said generally will resolve. But if that hangs on, that would be tough to live with.
And even more than that, sometimes it's not just numbness. They get funny feelings, kind of tingling feelings, pins and needles feelings, which some people find very annoying.
Absolutely. How often do you have to do a coronectomy?
As I say, it's normally not for the teenagers, the ones who are having their wisdom teeth out at the normal age. It's the ones who are having them out later in life.
The old 45-year-olds.
You've got
yes.
it.
Yes.
And if
yes.
You, if you
they're,
run,
when they're 45, they're getting up there.
You've got it.
Yes.
And if you run that kind of dental practice, you're going to run into those kind of patients.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is good to know. Anything you want to add about coronectomy surgery?
No, it's a fair... I mean, you would think it's an old-fashioned procedure, but it's actually only gained popularity in the last 15 years. In fact, the American Dental Association only accepted it as being conventional treatment in 2011. So it's still fairly new in some aspects. So some dentists are still a little bit suspicious of it.
Okay.
But it does seem to be a very viable technique, and it works, and it does protect the nerve.
So 15 years ago, it was... two options, leave the tooth, remove the tooth.
That's correct.
All right. See, I'm a fast learner, Dr.
Yeah.
Very impressive. Yes. How about that?
Impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much for your time. This has been great.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
You bet. Once again, that is Dr. Tony Pogrel. And for more information in the full podcast library, please visit myoms.org. And if you found this podcast helpful, please share it on your social channels and don't forget to subscribe. Thanks for listening.